Welcome. PrideOfDetroit.com presents First Bite Preview Podcast for the Detroit Lions. Get you ready for week nine of the NFL season. It's fantastic. It's been trucking along pretty quickly. I don't think I've noticed it go by that fast, but hey, you know, we're here. The Lions, your Detroit Lions are 500.
They're 500, right, sitting at 4-4.
We're about to be 4-5.
Go. No, all right.
Maybe they'll be 5-4. Who knows?
Okay, Mr. Sunshine.
Yeah, Mr. No, I'm predicting this one to be a tie. I don't know what you're saying. My name is Chris Lemieux, editor for Pride of Detroit at Detroit Southern on Twitter. My friend here, Ryan Matthews, editor, Pride of Detroit at Ryan_POD.
Welcome.
How you doing?
Welcome to First Bite.
Yeah, number three of First Bite. We've been running this pretty strong. And we're welcoming in now our second guest here. But if you've been listening to the Pride of Detroit podcast for a while, you might recognize him. He is our football fights round two runner-up, Ted Glover.
Howdy. How you guys doing?
Not sloppy seconds this time.
I was going to say, am I sloppy seconds tonight, or was I...
head billing? I reached out for.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
No, you were hombre number one.
Numero uno honcho. Good deal.
That shows you how much we liked when we had you on last time. It was like, yeah, no, Arif? No, I'm going right for Ted.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And I'll make sure to let Arif know that.
I'm sure that helps the ego. Yeah. You can find Ted on Twitter at Purple Buckeye. So he's kind of like double enemy here to the blue and yellows out there.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Detroit, Michigan. Oh, here we go. Going to be a fun night.
I'm not even UM or State.
Really?
So, no, I'm not.
No, I mean, you could tell by all the disrespect he said blue and yellow.
Yeah.
Jeremy will let him, he will reprimand him for that. Chris will face fines.
I actually went down to Columbus and I had a bunch of Lions fans telling me, hide your UM gear. And I'm like, what UM gear?
You a Michigan fan, Ryan?
I am
he's
not.
Sparty.
Go Grizz. I graduated from Oakland University.
Oh, how things change.
They do.
You know what also has changed is probably the outlook of this game. Lions at Vikings. First chance for Detroit Lions fans to see U.S. Bank Stadium, which I've seen on the broadcast, and it looks kind of magnificent. Right on down to the open bar where they carried Adrian Peterson through on the first Sunday night football game of the season. Was that
second? It was week two.
Second. That was week two. Yeah, you're right. Which that has a bit of a dark comedy to it.
A little bit. Ironic, I guess. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know. I feel like that's kind of that is so emblematic of the way the league has gone. It's like we are carrying an injured, near crippled superstar through a giant, gaudy, commercialized bar.
Well, the full story behind that now, for full disclosure, I guess the phrase is, the Vikings have, there's access straight to the locker room where you don't have to go through the Delta Lounge, which is that high end lounge. Because the players come out from the locker room through there for pregame and all that. But like during the game, if there's a player injured, there's access straight to the locker room from the sideline without having to go through that, that area, the fan area. But Peterson said, no, I want to go back through there and let everybody know that I'm okay or something like that while he was being carried by two trainers half of his size, you know, hopping on one leg, but whatever.
That seems even more weird.
Yeah.
Now, actually.
So anyways,
that detail is kind of spicy.
Yeah. He didn't want to go off the field in a cart is what it was. He wanted to go off under his own power.
Okay.
Why he couldn't have gone off. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah, he's certainly not the only injury the Vikings has sustained. So, Ted, why don't we just run down this Rolodex of horrors that we have right now for the Vikings?
Yeah, do we have 2 hours? Or what's the time limit for this show?
30 minutes.
All right, so 28 minutes, I'll finish up the injuries. No, as you guys know, Teddy Bridgewater was hurt. The Vikings have lost everybody now on their starting line that they might have projected to be a starter when training camp started. The only person on the line that had not been injured was Alex Boone, who suffered a concussion last week against the Bears. He did not practice today. Not sure what his status is. Yeah, everybody knows how, you know, concussion protocols are different. He can he could play on Sunday if he passes the protocols, I guess, tomorrow or Saturday. Other major injury for the Vikings, Eric Kendricks, linebacker, did not participate. He's got a concussion, still going through concussion protocol. Defensive tackle Tom Johnson did not participate. The other significant injuries, Jerick McKinnon, running back, one of the guys that has tried to pick up the slack in Adrian Peterson's absence. He didn't play last week for a foot. He didn't practice today, but he's limited participation today. He should practice, or he should play Sunday. Xavier Rhodes got banged up a little bit, but he should be okay. Same with Captain Marlon Anthony Barr. So other than the MASH unit on the offensive line, those are the big ones, probably Boone, McKinnon, and Eric Kendricks.
So we might see McKinnon probably in a limited capacity, I'm sure.
I'd expect
Asiata
him to play.
Might be there to pick up something, but there's not much going with that line.
No, there's not, unfortunately. It's, you know, it's been a patchwork group. You know, if there's any bright spot on this line, I'm trying really hard to find one. Jake Long, the guy they signed off the street a couple weeks ago, played better against the Bears. Like I said, Alex Boone, if he can get back in and play, the left side is serviceable. It's not going to set the world on fire. Joe Berger, the center, has been okay. It's the right side that is very troublesome with Brandon Fusco and TJ Clemmings, who has just been completely overwhelmed at the position this year. So we'll see what happens, but I'm not real optimistic on the performance of the offensive line again this week.
So, Ted, the only other name that I didn't hear you mention, you might have mentioned it, but Sharif Floyd, is he still out?
Yeah, he had that knee scope, I guess, right after the first or second week. He's still not practicing. This is about the time he should be coming back, but it doesn't look like he'll play this week. I guess there's one other notable injury. Andrew Sandejo, the other safety starting opposite Harrison Smith, has missed the last couple games. He was back at practice both yesterday and today in a limited role. So it looks like he might be on track to play this week as well. So we'll see how that goes, though.
Yeah, we'll have to see on these concussions, too. I know from covering these for a while, I usually expect to see a guy coming through concussion protocol to first go to, like, limited practice first before going to full practice, and then they're ready to go. And it's kind of worrying that we've seen on Thursday that both Kendricks and Boone are still out of practice. So, I mean, it's all a matter of when they pass these. I do hope to see Captain Mutterlin, because it's still the best name in the NFL.
Yeah.
And
hands down.
Hands down. Talking about the Lions for a second, two big ones, Ryan. DeAndre Levy, which we all know at this point, please don't send your hot takes about DeAndre Levy to Jeremy Reisman. He will own you. He actually had people begging forgiveness in his email today, so please do not cross him on DeAndre Levy. But Riley Reiff out, and he's been out Wednesday too, and he's marked with the illness, which... Man, that's a tricky, tricky designation to deal with.
Well, especially tricky too, Chris, because he's been listed with this illness since last week.
He left the game midway through the Houston game with flu-like symptoms too?
Yeah. So, I mean, with the illness, he still managed to miss some time, and he made his way back onto the field. But it's like you said, it's a very tricky situation with, you know, this designation coming into this week too. For an illness to last this long, it has to be something that's pretty serious. It has to be almost like it has to be flu related, you would think.
Well, I mean, I remember from last year too, Glover Quinn got hit with that illness designation when it was a concussion as well. Now, I don't think in the case of Reiff it is a concussion, but I mean, that's just showing you what a wide range of symptoms illness can cover. It's basically, if they don't find anything wrong with like a part of your body, it's an illness designation.
Yeah, and that will be, you know, I saw a stat earlier today posted by, I believe it was either PFF or Football Outsiders. I'm sorry that I'm not giving you the credit you deserve if your name is Football Outsiders, but Riley Reiff has actually given up the second most pressures as far as right tackles go. So while he has looked good in pass blocking, or not pass blocking, but rather the run blocking when they're getting out for the sweeps and whatnot, apparently he's giving up quite a few pressures, which is something that, you know, hasn't stood out on film, but Riley Reiff would be a big, he'd be a big miss on Sunday against the Vikings.
Yeah, because counterpoint, probably who's coming in to replace him is Cornelius Lucas.
That's not good. It's a pretty big drop off in talent.
It's not.
Yeah,
it's not. No, no. Darius Slay has been back in practice, still limited as of Thursday, though, so we're going to have to see how he comes along. But God, the Lions need Darius Slay back. That's one of those where you're just like, please be practicing in full on Friday.
Sure. In the worst way, right? I mean, we saw last week. I mean, they did an okay job with DeAndre Hopkins, but, you know, Slay's just a playmaker. And, you know, if you have him out on the field, that gives the defense opportunities to generate turnovers.
I mean, and we talked about this last week, too. Hamstrings can be tricky. A hamstring injury can be very tricky. And depth is kind of becoming a problem now with corners. Darius Barn also been suddenly added to the report Thursday with a hamstring injury. No practice. So he's probably not ready to go. Should expect Haloti Ngata, though. So
yeah. Yeah. Haloti Ngata would definitely be a welcome addition just because the Lions did have.
And Corey Robinson, too.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, some more depth along the offensive line. You know, with Reiff potentially maybe missing the game, but Haloti Ngata is going to be a welcome addition back because, you know, the Lions, if they have an opportunity, and I think you'd agree, Ted, if they had an opportunity for their defensive line to maybe get, you know, rolling this year, finally get some consistent pressure through four quarters, it'd probably be this week against that patchwork Minnesota offensive line.
Yeah, the opportunity is there for sure. We'll talk about how they might negate that later, but yeah, it's there. If they're going to make money, it's going to be this week.
Okay, and there was one more piece of news out of Minneapolis this week. Vikings offensive coordinator Norv Turner has resigned, and out of the gate, that felt like to me like a quote-unquote resign. But what do you have? What do you have just to give us about the Norv Turner resignation and about his successor, Pat Shurmur?
You know, it seemed like, you know, when you first hear about it, based off of 2 weeks of really bad play by the offense, it sounded like one of those resign or we're going to resign you type deals. But then Mike Zimmer had his press conference just a couple hours after the resignation was announced. And for all intents and purposes, it looks like Norv Turner actually did resign. Mike Zimmer was asked several times the same question several different ways. And each time he's like, no, I didn't see this coming. I didn't anticipate it. I was in here all night studying or looking at film, and he came in early morning and said, I think I'm going to offer my resignation. We had a talk. And at the end of the press conference, he got like visibly emotional at talking about what a good friend Norv Turner is and how much respect he has for him as a coach. So I don't think there was this cover story, if you will. I think he really did resign because he said he interviewed with a couple guys, national guys, I think Albert Breer maybe, or somebody else from the NFL Network, and said it just wasn't working. My approach is hurting the football team, and that's the last thing I wanted to do. So, yeah, I really think he did resign. I don't think he was forced out in any way.
And talk a little bit about Pat Shurmur. Like, how are things going to really change with the offense here, you think?
I think the Vikings are going to go back to what they were doing well the first five games where they started out 5-0. Pat Shurmur's MO is kind of a West Coast, I don't want to say disciple, but he favors the quicker, shorter passing routes, you know, the three-step drop type stuff, using the tight end a lot more, using the backs as pass receivers more. And that plays actually into the strengths of the Vikings offense right now, because you've got good receivers like Stephon Diggs, Cordero Patterson, Adam Thielen that can catch the ball and get some yards after the catch. And if anything else, if nothing else, the Vikings offensive line needs a big boost of confidence, and rolling them out to do 5 and 7 step drops while they turn around and watch Sam Bradford get killed is not going to do anything for their confidence. So these quick drops, let Bradford get the ball out of his hands quick, keep him relatively clean. I think it's going to go a long ways to help get the offense back on track.
All right, let's take a quick break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about matchups, our favorite thing to do, matchups, and things that we think we know. So stick around. First Bite continues after this. Okay, continuing on here for First Bite, let's talk a little bit about these matchups. Ryan, what matchup do you think stands out to you, just your first impression when you look at this game and see what is probably the one thing that's going to make or break this game, depending on, you know, unit X or person X meets unit Y?
Sure. I think the big matchup is going to be the Detroit defensive line against this Minnesota offensive line that seems like it's put together with duct tape, Ted. You got a lot of injuries in Minnesota. You got a lot of guys who didn't even start training camp with the Vikings, and now they're being thrust into starting positions. So let me just get your understanding, Ted, of where the Lions think they can, you know, generate pressure. Is it going to be off the edges past Jake Long, past TJ Clemmings, who's been having a lot of trouble? Is it going to be up the middle with, you know, potentially, Alex Boone out, or, you know, where are the Lions going to be generate pressure?
Yes, yes, and yes. I kid, but really the entire line, especially with Alex Boone out, you know, up the Vikings offensive line as a whole has just been maligned. And in all honesty, the left side hasn't been absolutely terrible. They're not world beaters. But Jake Long, as you mentioned, he was signed a couple weeks ago, got some game time in Philadelphia, didn't look good at all. Last week against the Bears, he demonstrably improved, at least I thought so. Alex Boone has probably been the best and most consistent offensive lineman the Vikings have had this year, or Joe Berger. You can make the case for either guy. But like you said, Boone, or we talked about earlier, Boone is dealing with concussion. Don't know if he's going to play. The weak link has been the right side of the Vikings line, right guard Brandon Fusco and right tackle TJ Clemmings. They've both had terrible years. They're both allowing a lot of pressure. And I would expect if the Lions are going to make serious inroads in rattling Sam Bradford, it's probably going to come from the right side. Now, this is with the caveat that let's say Alex Boone gets healthy and can play, and Jake Long can play at the level he was last week, and maybe if not a little bit better. So that's where the right side is what really concerns me the most, but we'll see how that unfolds on Sunday.
All right, what else do we have here? Let's talk about this Vikings backfield against Matt Stafford, who's been, you know, I think Houston kind of really slowed him down a little bit, Ted. They were, I think, what, eighth in pass protection, according to DVOA, or at least in defending against the pass for their entire unit. It kind of slowed them down, but I mean, Matt Stafford still has been pretty good. Although, granted, from what I'm seeing, Minnesota is about ranked fourth in that same metric, so this could be even an even tougher matchup for Matt Stafford and his weapons to get around what Minnesota has in the backfield.
Yeah, I really like the Vikings secondary. Xavier Rhodes, I think, is becoming a true shutdown corner in the NFL. The Vikings consistently put him up against their opponent's best guy, and he usually shadows them for the whole game. On the other side, you've got Terrence Newman, who is started out kind of slow. He's ageless wonder, kind of like Anquan Boldin on your side of the ball. So I would expect them to just kind of have a double ARP meeting all afternoon. We'll see how that goes.
they'll probably get together after the game and take a knee and talk about senior discounts.
Yeah, and then Captain Mullen, who I think is a really solid, if not the best slot corner in the NFL. And then behind them, you have Trey Waynes, who has come in and subbed for both Newman on the left and Rhodes on the right, just to keep all three of those guys fresh. And he's played very well this year. So it's not that I I'm trying to be disrespectful to the Lions receivers. I think they're a very balanced group. I think they're all within two or three catches of each other this season. But I really like the Vikings' secondary matchup against the Lions receivers. I think they match up very well. And there's not one Lions receiver that I think has a clear advantage over any of the Vikings' defensive backs.
You know, let me ask you a question, too, about the Vikings' defense as well. In terms, Ted, of... Because this is a very different Lions offense. I mean, you know, before Jim Bob Cooter came to town, it was an offense that was really predicated on one guy for the most part, right? I mean, everybody gave all the attention to Calvin Johnson. It was about trying to get vertical. It was about trying to, you know, take those, you know, 5-7 step drops, maybe with Matthew Stafford, sit back in the pocket, wait for something to develop. If it didn't happen, then it was, you know, huck it, chuck it, throw it to Calvin Johnson deep downfield and let magic happen. But this offense has changed a lot. It's more get the ball out quick, get the ball to receivers, you know, quick screens, some kind of gadget plays that they do with Golden Tate and whatnot. Really the only deep, you know, threat, ironically enough, is the guy who came in to quote unquote replace Calvin Johnson, Marvin Jones. But I'm just asking you, in terms of the Vikings defense, is it a defense that moves well side to side? Because, you know, when it comes to the run, the Lions, when they've had success, it's been these zone running plays where, you know, they either sweep it out to the, you know, to the left or to the right. Most often, usually it is to the right side because that's where a lot of their talented run blockers are. So how does this defense do, you know, sideline to sideline?
They move very well laterally, and that's based on a very athletic defensive line and a very deep defensive line. They haven't played well the last couple of weeks against against a Philadelphia line and a Chicago line. I thought they could have really I thought they had a distinct advantage against both those lines. Neither the Vikings defensive line didn't play well, but one of the reasons they pursue well laterally to the ball, to the point of attack, is linebackers Anthony Barr and Eric Kendricks. And although those guys have had kind of a down year, both of them sort of had, I've sort of been disappointed in their play, they can get to where the ball carrier is, and they can go from point A to point B, and they have tremendous closing speed. So that said, they haven't been able to do that consistently this year. So it'll be interesting. I think where the Lions offensively match up really well is a running back out of the backfield or short stuff over the middle of the tight end, Eric Ebron possibly. And then going from there and trying to stretch out the Vikings defense.
Okay. I've got another note here. Blair, big, really big matchup here. Blair Walsh versus Life.
Wow.
No. I'm sorry.
Wow.
I actually. Okay, funny story. So I was watching. Who was it? It was St. Thomas Aquinas try to take on Bishop Gorman, number one high school team in the country. I think it was that back at the start of October or so. And this was in like, you know, where's Bishop Gorman? That's like what? That's somewhere in Nevada near Vegas, I think. And the St. Thomas Aquinas kicker came on. This was like triple overtime. And he came on to kick what was going to be the game-winning field goal. And, you know, they give all these like facts about the kid and everything. Favorite athlete listed as Blair Walsh. And what do you think happened to that field goal?
Left hash, wide left from 27 yards. You're setting me up for this, aren't you, Chris?
Not exactly that close distance, but it was about the same result. Yeah.
Oh, that's terrible. Poor kid.
I really felt for the kid, but no, actually, Blair Walsh has actually stabilized pretty well. Like he had a couple of scares early in the season, but he's looking a little better.
Yeah, he has. The first couple of weeks were sketchy, but he seemed to get whatever it was that was had him not kicking as well as he should, that at least for the time being, he's got it taken care of. He's kicked very well the last several games.
I got a question for you, Ted. An APB, you know, where is Laquon Treadwell?
Currently riding the Vikings bench. You know, this is kind of like a Where's Waldo thing the Vikings fans have every week with this guy. And here's my thing. The Vikings, at least under Mike Zimmer, play their draft picks when they think they're ready. And And they don't play guys who they don't think are ready. They didn't play Cordero Patterson much at all last year, much to everyone's chagrin. They didn't play Trey Waynes, their first-round draft pick out of Michigan State, their cornerback last year, until the very end of the season. And for whatever reason, the Vikings don't say, and they don't have to say. They keep saying, when he's ready, he'll play. And I'm fully convinced that when he is ready, he will play and he will contribute. It hasn't been through the first 7 games, and I understand that that's frustrating, but I think that when it's all said and done, Laquon Treadwell is going to be just fine.
Last thing I really have here to really talk about was just again the Pat Shurmur offense. We didn't really touch too much on it, but like, you know, especially watching Sam Bradford kind of struggle in the past few weeks. I mean, a lot of that is obviously offensive line, but what does that really change for Sam Bradford? Like, and what, where does maybe the new Pat Shurmur offense, does that really help Sam Bradford, even knowing that he's hindered with this offensive line? Or is it, yeah, I don't know. I'm still trying to get a read on Sam Bradford here.
I think it does help, Chris, for a couple reasons. You know, Pat Shurmur was Bradford's offensive coordinator in Philadelphia. He was his offensive coordinator in St. Louis during Bradford's rookie year. And I think that was 2010, if I'm not mistaken. And Bradford was the offensive rookie of the year in the NFC that year. So, I mean, I think it's safe to say that there's a comfort level between the two. And with Sam Bradford coming in and not ever having worked with Norv Turner before, and I'm not saying this was a contributing factor to Norv resigning, because they played well for 5 weeks offensively, or they played well enough to complement the defense and get to a 5-0 start. I think you'll see more of what was working the first 5 games. The quicker pass routes, the shorter stuff to a receiver like Patterson, maybe more screens. Allow the receiver to catch the ball in space and try and get some yards after catch. Hopefully, the other thing that's really, really hurt the last couple weeks, and it's been a thorn in the Vikings' side all year, is the running game. It just hasn't been there. And at least the last few games before, you know, the Philly game and the Chicago game, the Vikings, they weren't setting the world on fire on the ground, but they were getting, you know, 4 yards here, 4 yards there, 5 yards here. So it was putting the offense in a lot more manageable down and distance situations, and it made it more unpredictable. They had the option to either run or pass. The last couple weeks, when the Vikings run the ball, they lose 2 yards on first down. And now you're looking, instead of 2nd and 6, now you're looking at 2nd and 12. And when the defense knows what you're probably going to have to do to make up yards and get a first down, that really puts an offensive line that has struggled in pass protection even farther behind the power curve.
All right, now let's get to a quick couple of things that we think we know are going to happen. Ryan, what's your one key that you think is probably going to make or break this game?
If you are a Lions fan tuning in on Sunday, you have to hope that, as I mentioned earlier, that this Lions defensive line can generate some pressure. If there was a time for them to shine, if there was a time for them to, as you know, Ted pointed out earlier, if there's a time for the Lions defensive line to make their money, and we all know Ziggy Ansah is due for a contract extension pretty soon, now is the time for him to have that game. Now is the time for Kerry Hyder to continue to show, to be consistent, to really show that he is going to be a contributor from here on out. It's time for Devin Taylor to finally show up. It's time for some of the interior defensive linemen who have had up and down games. It's time for this unit as a whole. We talked about, ever since the start of training camp, that the strength of this Lions defense was its defensive line. It was going to struggle in the secondary, and we've seen that happen. It's going to struggle at linebacker, and we've seen that happen. You expect that the Vikings are going to have, they're going to have some more success on offense. You know, we talked about, you know, Ted talked about, you know, Pat Shurmur hopefully trying to turn this offense around, trying to do some things differently with this more kind of a West Coast style approach where they're trying to utilize Stephon Diggs' ability to catch the ball and then do something with it, or Cordero Patterson's, you know, that guy is incredible if you get the ball in his hands and he's got space to move. But the one area that the Lions really need, they really just need to dominate in, is just getting push along that defensive line, getting to Sam Bradford, making him feel uncomfortable, forcing him to maybe even throw the ball earlier than he needs to. I think if you're going to see a Lions victory on Sunday, that's something that's definitely going to happen. And I know it's very elementary, but it's just sometimes it's basic football 101. And I wish I could growl like Chris Spielman right now. Thank you, Chris.
I try. Ted, what do you think is going to make or break this game?
I think the Vikings offense is going to look to incorporate Kyle Rudolph, and maybe not necessarily Kyle
Rudolph.
You don't
say, Ted. You don't say, Ted.
the
Vikings are going to use their tight end.
We talk about you know, Pat Schumer coming in being a West Coast offense kind of guy, quicker, faster passing routes, and like, oh, hey, where are the Lions vulnerable?
Yeah, well, I think there's, for the Vikings, there's an opportunity for them to do very well in the middle of the field in these routes that are anywhere between 10 to 20 yards downfield. And Kyle Rudolph is the guy that really incorporates that for the Vikings offense. Played very well the first four or five games of the year. Kind of disappeared the last couple weeks. So I would expect him to be incorporated more. Before Shermer became the offensive coordinator, his official job title was tight ends coach. So I would really expect them to use a guy like Rudolph, use the backs out of the backfield more as pass catchers, and give anything to give the offensive line some confidence. Just real quick drops, get the ball out of Sam Bradford's hands, keep him clean in the pocket as much as possible, and slowly build their confidence back up. And then if an opportunity presents itself like it did in the first few weeks of the season, take a shot downfield.
All right, Ted, where can we find your stuff? Like, what, Ted Glover, everyone, let's hear where you can find all your
plug
stuff.
Plug your shiz, Ted.
Plug it.
I'm a writer for the Daily Norseman, SB Nation's Minnesota Vikings site. That's dailynorseman.com. Do a podcast with one of the other front page writers, Dye Murphy. It's Roughing the Podcast. That's one of two podcasts we have on Daily Norseman. The other one is Norse Code, hosted by a guy you guys are all very familiar with, Juan Arif Hassan, who's part of the Daily Norseman family and about 32 other organizations and websites about football on the internet. You can find the show Roughing the Podcast. Our Twitter handle is @RoughThePodcast. My Twitter handle is @PurpleBuckeye because I'm a weird Vikings and Ohio State Buckeyes fan. My co-host, Dye Murphy, you can find her @DyeMurphyMN. You can find Daily Norseman on Twitter @DailyNorseman. Hopefully, if you like what we have to say and what we have to write, you'll come back and be a return customer for us.
Well, we'll certainly be returned with you or maybe someone else from Daily Norseman here in about, what is it? Three weeks.
We have the bye. Yeah, the bye, the Jaguars, and then it's time to eat some Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
With the Vikings.
Some turka. Yep.
Turducken.
Did Vikings ever hunt turkeys?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Possibly. Maybe were there turkeys when they landed in Vinland in like Canada in like the
600s? This is a question for Arif Hassan.
Yeah. No, I don't want that. He's going to give us like three paragraphs on that. No. Very detailed. All right. I'm Chris Lemieux at Detroit Southern. My man here, Ryan.
@Ryan_POD.
Thank you all for listening. It's been First Bite, and we will see you Starside.
Hear the drums echoing tonight, and she hears only whispers of some quiet conversation. She's coming in 12:30 flight, the moonlit wings reflect the stars that guide me towards salvation. I stopped an old man along the way, hoping to find some old forgotten words. Melodies. He turned to me as if to say,